Man, I hope that you've had a great week. I do, man. I hope that you've had an amazing, amazing week, and you just come to this place. Church, if you do, I'm not a big news watcher. I get my news from some different sources and even from people and people on our team and just, you know, I just don't know what's going to take place this next week. It could be a little crazy, but we've had a crazy season. It's been a crazy season here in America. It's been just a crazy season. And in that, my heart goes to people. My heart goes to us as a church, and my heart goes to us as a congregation and as a family, and truly as brothers and sisters in Christ, to just to make sure that the craziness of the land doesn't seep in and make our hearts just crazy, and that we would truly be so stuck on Jesus and be so truly hungry for him to let, and I don't mean this in a way only to say I want Jesus elevated and the craziness of this world. I don't want the weight of the craziness of this world to interfere with my relationship with Jesus. And we come to this place to realize God is truly in charge, and I don't ever lose sight of that, man. It's amazing. And in that, even in this, I just am hopeful that you've had a great week. I'm hopeful that you have enjoyed yourself, and just as a family, as a mom and a dad, as a son and a daughter, as parents going to work, whatever that looks like, man, I hope that you've had truly a blessed week, that you truly, please hear this, believers, that you truly beat to a different drum in a season of chaos and crazy, and to understand what that looks like to be different than the rest of the world, to walk in a place to be different, yet still full of joy and yet still having peace, and walking in this place of not being fearful and afraid because we trust in the one true living God who is over all things, and that people would see such a difference in you in the midst of crazy. I think it's our moment, man. I think it's our moment to walk in a place to turn people to Jesus. And we're believing this, man. We're believing for a move of God's Spirit here in our region, to watch God do a work by his Spirit of moving in the lives of people for a true revival. And I don't use that word as a sense of, oh, let's have a revival, a big party. No, I'm talking about a very real sense of repentance and the turning away from sin and unrighteousness and wickedness and ungodliness and evil, and turn to Jesus Christ in repentance. And only after repentance can you have revival. And I want sin exposed, and I want evil exposed, and I want to walk in his place for people's personal lives to come back to a place to say, I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need Jesus. And we walk in that. So, man, I'm hoping in all of this, man, I hope that you've had just truly a great week, a great week. I've had a great week. As you know, man, as a church, we go skiing on Tuesday nights, and we've got a good crew that goes up. You've got myself and my man Ethan and Brendan and Matt and Seth. I mean, we've got a good crew. My man Tom Both, he goes. Like, we have a great crew that goes on Tuesdays, and many more actually go. But we have our own little crew, and we just have a blast on Tuesday nights at the Valley, and we just shred. Unfortunately, I'm having a difficult time breathing because I took a wreck on Tuesday night. It was amazing. And I only share this with you because it's funny. And it was just me and Matt at this time, and we're kicking on this slope, and Renee, I wasn't jumping. My wife is like, you were in the air. I was not in the air. I was just cruising on the ground slowly, and it was amazing. And I come around a corner, and I can't tell you the last time. There's a couple of things I can't tell you the last time on in this story, in a sense of I came out of both my skis. And I don't tell you the last time both bindings released. Something took place with my skis. They completely stopped, and I didn't. And I face planted hard. And this is just a true story, right? I'm coming around the corner, and I'm shredding, and I'm so pumped. Matt can rip, right? Matt can just shred. He rips. He's from Colorado, and he shreds, right? So I am behind Matt, and we're just having a blast, and we're ripping. And my mindset was, man, I can't wait to rip Colorado with Matt. Like, we don't have any plans. For whatever reason, that was in my mind. Like, we have no plans to go to Colorado. But my mindset, true story, I can't wait to rip with Matt in Colorado. And then next thing I know, I am on the ground, face planted so hard. First, I can't remember the last time I got the wind knocked out of me. Completely couldn't breathe. Wind knocked out of me. I'm laying there flat. And my first thought was, man, I hope he saw that. true. He didn't. He missed the whole wreck. It was awful. And I get up and I can't breathe, right? My side hurts. It still hurts today. And it been almost a week, and it's just, I'm trying to sleep at night, poor Renee, right? And I'm like, oh, I hope he saw that. And I'm just laying there trying to catch my breath. The wind is knocked out of me. And Matt is like, what is Sean doing up there? Like, he didn't even come to my aid. It was just like, he was just laughing at me, right? Until he saw me not moving. He's like, all right. So he skates up to see me. And I'm over like this, and I get up. I finally catch my breath, and I look down, and all of a sudden, the snow starts turning red. I'm like, oh, where am I bleeding from? Like, what is bleeding right now, right? So Matt comes up. He looks at my face, and he laughs at me. Like, he's like, dude, you're bleeding. I'm like, I know. Thanks, Matt. Like, and the snow's getting red. I can't breathe. My side hurts. Blood's coming from somewhere. He's like, I think it's your cheek, or maybe it's your nose. And my nose is still sore, and I somehow sliced half my nose. Like, I don't know what happened. I sliced my nose, and of course, the very first thing you do is take a picture, right? So I'm like, Matt, let's take a picture. Blood everywhere. It was an incredible night. So if you see me struggling breathing, it's only because my side hurts. But we're all right. We're going to rip it again on Tuesday. I was there Friday shredding, and we're going to be there again on Tuesday doing what we can. But it's just a funny, funny story. And of course, a man is like, oh, I hope he saw that. Because if you wreck horribly and no one sees it, it's like a hole in one when you're all by yourself. It's useless, right? It's terrible. Come on, let's pray. We're going to turn to a couple places. Man, I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what's upcoming for Believers Chapel. We've got one more week. We got today on stewardship. Next week is on stewardship. And then we've got a couple places I want to go. We're going to get into a marriage series. I'm excited about that. Renee and I are going to open up that marriage series in a few weeks on grounds of our testimony and who we are. And I'm going to be able to brag on Renee as a woman of God we're going to have a great time of just a testimony on marriage. I don't even think she knows it. She's in the front going, what? We're going to do what? She's like, this is of the Lord, honey. It's going to be amazing. So she's going to be on stage with me, and the opening will be just this amazing testimony time for Renee and I, and just kind of share our story in marriage and in ministry and what God has done. And it's going to be a blessing, and we're excited about that. And then we're going to get into more of a roundtable type discussion on marriage and questions. And we're going to try to set something up that if you have questions, you can text them, and then we can try to answer your questions. I'm kind of excited about the format that we're really going to be doing in this marriage series. It's going to be a little different. But I think in the midst of all of the crazy and chaos of the world, man, the enemy, don't ever forget it, he hates marriage, and he wants division in your marriage, and he wants division in your home, and he wants division in your kids. And please hear this. And everything that's taking place in 2020, there's three huge factors: fear, confusion, and division. And none of those are of God. None of those are of God. Fear is a serious driving force. Confusion, nobody knows what's going on. And then division. And it's caused division in homes, in families, in churches. And none of those three, those are the top three, and none of those are of God. And I'm excited for the very season that we are getting into this marriage series. It's so vital and so important to walk in a sense of unity in your home and in your marriage. For the enemy hates marriage, and he will try to divide, and a house divided falls. And I'm excited about what's ahead in the next month. It's going to be amazing. So come on, if you would turn with me, please. And you know, if you turn me to two places, 2 Corinthians and 1 Chronicles. 2 Corinthians and 1 Chronicles. And we look at what it looks like to walk in a place of being a good steward. Last week, we kicked this off as it really is a matter of the heart. It's about the heart. And it's not about your bank account. It's about the heart, right? It's not about how much you have. It is how much you give in a sense of matter of the heart. And we talked about this last week, and this is part two to that. But I also talked about what it means to come up with your word. What is your word for the year? I also said, what is your anchor verse for 2021? What is your, not it could be a few verses, like what is it that you're going to anchor yourself in? Church, please hear this. You know this. You know that the Word of God, man, we are to be starving for the Word. The foundation of Believer's Chapel is His Word. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. And we come to this place when you are hungry for Jesus, you are hungry for His Word. And we cannot and will not waver from the Word of God. And we will not do this here at Believer's Chapel of wavering from the Word. And I want you to be so starving for the Word of God, to be so hungry for His Word, that the Word becomes that foundation that you make every decision based off of the Word. You walk in this place to understand, I am on solid ground because I know my decisions are coming from the Word of God. Trust it, believe it. Own it, live in it, chew on it, and swallow it, man. This is hungry for God's Word. And I just really wanted to share my verse with you. And it's found in Isaiah 26. I'm just going to read this. You can park in 2 Corinthians. But I want you to know my verse for the year. This is my anchor verses for 2021. And it's Isaiah 26, verses 7, 8, and 9. And this is what it says. It says, the way of the righteous is smooth. The upright one makes the path of the righteous level. That's balance. You know, if you're in any type of construction, or if you have hung a mirror, or if you've hung a shelf in your house, what do? You get out that level and make sure the bubble's in the middle. If the bubble's not in the middle, man, things are off kilter. And when it talks about being smooth, when it talks about being level, man, I want my path to walk in this place to be balanced and to be level and to be smooth. Watch what he says. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, God is a judge, and there is a way of justice. Following the way of your judgments, O Lord, for we have waited for you eagerly. And I think in 2021, man, I am looking. And the word waiting for, it means to look for. To eagerly, and the word eagerly has this intensity behind it. With this intensity, I am looking for you. Church, you're going to miss it if you're not looking for God. You're going to miss it. God is going to move. God is always doing something. God is going to move. And I'm telling you, we will see God's hand work in a powerful way in 2021. But you've got to be ready for it, and you've got to be looking for it. And this is my anchor verse. As first, just a husband, as a man, as a follower of Christ, as a husband, as a dad, as a boss, and as a pastor of this church, man, I want me to be looking for God to move, to be believing that God has moved, to be eager for it, and to know, God, by your Spirit, you'd move again. And I trust that that is true. And I do believe, you've heard me say it, I believe this can be our finest hour as a church in the midst of crazy and chaos, to walk in a place to be different, to walk in a place to be, now you've got me preaching. This was unplanned. I just want to give a verse and you all just like, yes! You walk in this place to be sanctified, and sanctified means to be set apart. Sanctified means that there's a difference. When you come to Jesus, sanctification means change. If there's no change in you, guess what? There's no Jesus in you. Because you've been set apart. And I want this. I'm praying for this. For this church and for this region. That we walk in this place. Say, we have waited for you eagerly. We are looking for you. For your name, watch this. For your name, what is worship and praise? Man, it is late. I gotta preach. What is that we would make his name great, that we worship his name. There is no other name above his name. And at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that your name, even your renown, your remembrance, your memory, that you would be renowned. Watch this. We want to make his name renowned. It is the desire of our souls. Now, what happens when it is the desire of me? This is my anchor verse. What is the desire of my soul? That his name would be renowned. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. Man, I love this, and I encourage you to find yourself an anchor verse. I've gone over this, and I'm pumped about getting into that even more for myself, to really walk in a place to not look at the craziness of this world and to turn off the noise and come to this place to get it back into a heavy weight that God is in charge and my hope and my trust is only in him. Listen, please hear this. If there's anything that's going to work and get us out of the rut that America is in, it is only Jesus. Please hear me. It is only Jesus and nothing and no one else. And we walk in an absolute truth of that. I promise you it's not Trump. I promise you it's not Biden. I promise you it's not the Senate, the House, or Congress. It is Jesus Christ alone that will get America out of rut again. Can you agree with me on that? So let's get this thing back into balance, turn off the noise, and focus on the only one that's going to make the difference. Are you with me? Come on. Someone say, preach. And that we shall. Come on. 2 Corinthians 9. Last week we ended with two questions. Are you generous? And are you happy about it? Are you generous? And are you happy about it? And I think those are just two key questions, because we can be generous but yet selfish. I know a lot of people who give, but they give for a tax return. Has absolutely nothing to do with being happy about it. I know people who just love to give because if they don't give, Uncle Sam's going to take a lot more, so they have to equal the balance. And if it had nothing to do with Uncle Sam, they probably wouldn't give. So it's not like they're generous. Generous is a matter of the heart. Generosity is the matter of my spirit, and it brings me joy to be able to give because I'm generous, and you walk in this place. Are you generous? If the answer is yes, then we should be happy about it, because generosity and a spirit of gladness come together. Generosity, you can't be generous in a sense of the word generous in that sense of I want to be a generous person, but yet you're mad every time you have to give. That doesn't line up, right? It doesn't work. And we walk in this place. And as I said last week, a very quick recap. If you are new to this week or you weren't here last week, this is simple, man. I'm not into a 3-week series because Believers Chapel needs money. From 2019 to 2020, we shut down for 3 months because we had to ourselves be very careful, figure out what this COVID thing is, and just check this out and walking in a place of wisdom in that. And then we open, and we haven't even passed a basket yet. We walk in a place to realize the craziness of 2020, and yet at the end of 2020, we're 1.5% higher than we were in 2019. So we're in an unbelievable place financially. We're in a good place. In the midst of COVID, we built a ship. Unbelievable. $95,000 for the ship, right? And it's incredible what God has done in an absolute crazy season. A crazy season. So please hear me. Understand this. This isn't like, oh, man, we got to pay the staff. Oh, we're way below. Oh, the lights are going to turn off. Like, it's absolutely not that. We're in the position we're in because of your faithfulness. So we look at this, and I need you to understand that, because that is huge. That is huge. And we walk in this place to get a mindset around stewardship. And next week, we're really going to go deep in a sense of ownership versus stewardship. Do you think you own it? We're going to clarify who owns it. Or are you just a steward of it? It has an absolute mind shift to what's going to take place next week. Don't miss it. Come on, are you generous? And are you happy about it? Come on, 2 Corinthians 9, right here, verse 6, it says this. Now I say this to he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Please hear this, man. This is a promise in Scripture. This is a principle that you find from beginning to end. This is a principle that you find, and watch this, not just in financial giving, but in life. When you understand a biblical principle, you cannot get away from this. You reap what you sow, period. You look at your life, your future is your fault. You hear me say this all the time. The condition of marriage you're in is your fault. That can be good or bad. If your marriage is terrible, that's on you. God gave you the game plan for an amazing, successful marriage full of love and joy and laughter and all kind of good bedroom stuff. So that's what God set up for marriage. Listen, if your marriage stinks, that's on you. You reap what you sow. Somehow you planted some things that didn't work. Listen, when you walk in a place to understand the biblical principle throughout Scripture, God says you reap what you sow. And we just continue to plant seeds. That means with our words, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right? Even with our actions, it makes a huge difference on the things that we're laying down and what we are sowing to our end game in life. Because, well, what about tragedy? Tragedy can happen. How you handle yourself and the seeds that you sow through tragedy is either going to make you crash in tragedy or you're going to rise above the tragedy because of Christ in you. So when you understand this principle, this is not only just a financial principle. But I love where Paul is here to the church of Corinth. He says, listen, now this I say. He's like, listen, pay attention. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do as purposed in his heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Each one must do as purposed to his heart. And if you are I believe in the tithe. I believe in the 10% plus an offering. I believe in that. Been taught that all my life. And then, you know, there's a wave that comes in that says tithing is Old Testament. It's not for today. Just give whatever you want. I don't agree with that teaching. I do agree with the teachers that will come into a place to say, if you're actually going to live by 2 Corinthians 9 in a sense of it's only as purpose to your heart, then real teaching on that would say it's a tithe. It is still your 10%, but according to your heart, based on the generosity of a New Testament generosity to see how God has given and all that Jesus did, you would think that 10% plus, the blessing part, the offering part would go into the 20-30%. So when you get online and you watch, am I supposed to give to church? Like, type that in and you'll get several different crazy answers. But when the Old Testament comes into the New Testament and you see the tithe is still, and Jesus did teach on the tithe, and you walk in his place to realize and understand tithe and offering, if somebody wants to say, well, maybe the tithe isn't for today, the proper teaching on that, I do believe the tithe is for today. I do believe you see it in Scripture, even in the New Testament. You walk in a place, the true teachers on that would say, yes, it's still the principle of the 10% is yet still in order, but maybe they bump it up to the 30-40%, and that's crazy, amazing. So I just for all the internet surfers, and it's funny to me because the argument is I don't have to give. And you just told me everything I need to know. Right? And when you come to a place and say, well, I saw a message from so-and-so and he says I don't have to give. And if that's your heart desire to not give, then you're walking in a place that is opposite of everything we're teaching. Just so you know, right? When you walk in this place, be careful on your internet preachers. And there's been a, and I love where we're at right now. Because in my lifetime, I'm 51. In my lifetime, 2020 has been the biggest year that I have seen personally. I can't say in history because I'm 51. That I have seen personally in my time of ministry. Renee and I started a Bible study in our living room in our first year of marriage at 27. We've been married for 27 years. So in 27 years of teaching the Bible, this is 2020 has been the year that I have seen a healthy picking of sides of who's actually going to preach truth and who's going to be a Hollywood preacher. And I love that. I love that. Because there's been a ton of contamination to the Word of God. There's been a ton of false teaching in the Word of God. There's been a ton of tolerance and leniency towards filthy, disgusting sin in preaching today. And when you understand God hates sin, that it cost Jesus Christ his blood. And I'm loving what has taken place in 2020 in bringing out these Hollywood preachers that just want to preach fluff and they just want to walk in this place and not understand the depth of Scripture. Can I say amen to that, please? Good stuff. There's good stuff ahead. People, buckle up. Let's go. Come on. 10:05. Let's cruise. And this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do his purpose in his heart. Watch this, not grudgingly or under compulsion. I love this. Not grudgingly, not because it's grudgingly, not because there's this sense of pain and agony and, oh, I don't want to give, but I have to give. That's the compulsion part. Man, there's this force that I just have to give, and they pass the basket every time they have a meeting, which obviously we don't. We have a lot of side meetings that we only really take up an offering on a Sunday morning. And you walk in this place where that's not how God chooses to us to give. It's not because grudgingly. It's not because of compulsion. It's not because we have to. It's not because out of grief. And it's not because you're forced. Watch this. For God loves a cheerful giver. Are you generous and are you happy about it? Because when you look at God and you see how God does see our giving, Are you excited about being able to give? Are you excited and happy about being generous? Is it just, does it, and I want this to boil over way past just the church offering, please. I'm talking about generous in life. We are excited. Excuse me. That hurts. Just kidding. Oh my goodness. Did he see that? Matt didn't see nothing. He didn't even see me wreck. And it's not just tithes and offerings. I'm talking about you just having a generous spirit. I'm just talking about you seeing someone in pain and nobody knows it, and yet you're a blessing. You see somebody you love in a restaurant and you pay for their bill. You see somebody that you care about and all of a sudden there's blessing or there's flowers or whatever that looks like. This isn't just about a Sunday morning offering. This is about you being generous. And Proverbs 11 says the generous will be prosperous. And it's not talking about tithes and offerings. It's talking about just a spirit of generosity because it's a matter of the heart. Do you look to give? Are you a generous person? Do you look to give? Are you looking for people who are struggling and it doesn't have to go through the church? You just walk in a place to want to take care of someone's need. You just walk in a place to take care of someone's meal. But that's not a struggle. It's just who we are. It's our nature to be generous. Why? Because we take on the nature of God, and God loved, he gave. And you walk in his place to say, God loves a cheerful giver. I love this. So, man, I want the people of Believers Chapel to walk in a place that while we're in this place and we're outside this place and even in our own homes and even in our own businesses and our own workplaces and wherever God has called you to be, whether it's a restaurant or whether it's being generous to waitresses or waiters to your server, then, man, listen, if you're a cheap Christian and you think, well, they didn't fill my water but twice, I'm not giving them a tip. You son of a gun. You have no idea the condition of your server. You have no idea the struggle that they might be going through. You have no idea the need of that 20%. If you're still on the 10% train, you are way behind. And if it is somebody that you know, man, that busts up past 20%. I'm just saying. Because generosity, please don't miss this. Generosity isn't just a tithe and offering because the plate was passed. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just that spirit of generosity. It is our nature to be generous. It is our nature to be able to look for those that we can be generous to. It is our nature to be able to see somebody that we care for and want to pay for their meal. It is our generous nature to be able to take care of a server because guess what? We live in a small town and they're going to remember when you come in. Are they going to be excited you come back? Please, what? This is huge. Are they going to be excited when they see you walk through the doors going, oh, I'm so excited they're here. Not just because you're a good tipper, but that will help. Because guess what? That's their job. But they look and say, oh, great. Here comes the 3%. Thanks. Legit. Legit. So what is it? Please hear me, man. This series on stewardship is not just on tithes and offerings and what we have here at the church. It's taking on a nature of generosity that it shows up 24/7. It shows up being generous in your marriage. It shows up being generous with your kids. To walk in a place to want to bless your kids. God the Father wants to bless his kids. And listen, you as a parent, you want to be able to bless your kids. Financially, you want to be able to bless your kids. Man, Renee and I want to take care of our kids as much as possible. I said this last week. It's so funny because we look at the end game of the year going, I think we should have more money in the bank. And Renee's like, do you know how much we give to our kids? And truth, that's just true. And we walk in a place. Honestly, we walk in a place to put this stewardship nature, being a good steward of what God has given us. But in that sense, if you hoard it and you walk in this place and just keep it for yourself, all that's going to do is cause greed. I got a couple minutes. We're gonna flip scripts here. Keep on 2 Corinthians. Turn to Proverbs 11, please. I just want to share this. Let's go to Proverbs 11. I want you to see this. I don't know if we'll get to Chronicles or not, but probably not. But I turn to Proverbs 11. We're just going to flip the script a little bit because I want you to see this. I think this is important. If I could find Proverbs, it'd be amazing. Y'all beat me there. Charge. We've been doing sword drills. Anyone ever know what a sword drill is? Remember that in Bible school, right? In little children's church, sword drills. Ready? Okay. Proverbs 11. And then you repeat Proverbs 11. And then charge. And then the first one gets it. They stand up and read it. But here, I couldn't find it. Y'all beat me there. Okay. Proverbs 11 says this. I want you to see this. If you're new to Believer's Chapel, you're like, who is this guy? This is incredible. We'll get there. Watch this. Come on. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says this. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. I love that. Isn't it amazing how farming principle takes place in finances? If you sow corn, guess what you're going to reap? If you sow one seed of corn, guess how much you're going to reap? But if you scatter plenty, if you sow plenty, if you're sowing seed, finances are seeds, if you walk in that place to be generous, watch this. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. What is the desire of the righteous? Look at this, verse 24. And there is one who scatters yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due. What are you doing with what God has given you? Withholding what is justly due. And yet it results only in greed. Isn't it amazing that from the garden, one of the biggest issues that every person who breathes will deal with is selfish, is being self. But one of the ways to kick self, one of the ways to conquer self, is one who knows what it is to give. Generally, a selfish person doesn't want to give. They want to hold for themselves. And when they hold for themselves what they should be scattering, what they should be sowing, it only creates greed. It just grows and breeds greed. And watch what it says. Look at this. Verse 25, the generous man will be prosperous. And he who waters, here's the reaping and sowing, and he who waters will himself be watered. And the word for watered here is like a cooling brook, which brings refreshing, right? When you are sweating and you are hot and you just want a cold drink, that's what this is referring to. He who refreshes will also be refreshed. I love the idea of it. Please hear this, man. It's so much more than a Sunday morning offering, please. It's not what this is about. It's about a child of God coming to this place to take on a nature of being different, taking on a nature of denying self and taking on a nature of kicking self to the curb by being generous, by being able to give, by walking in this place to believe a generous man will be prosperous. And he who waters will himself be watered. Isn't it amazing that the reaping and sowing principle can function in a place of your refreshment, of you walking in a place if you are going through a dry season? I believe this, the way to get out of your dry season is to be refreshing for someone else. Because look what it says. He who waters or he who refreshes will himself. Reaping and sowing is God's idea, and it's his principle, and it's absolutely certain, and you can bank on it. When I need to be refreshed, I go find somebody to refresh, and in that it does something to my spirit. Right? Come on, back to 2 Corinthians, please. For God loves a cheerful giver, verse 8, and God is able, here it is, I love this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance in every good deed. Oh, man, I wanted to get to 15. We got to verse 8. Hold on. We got to break this down. This is amazing. And God is able. Well, he's talking about sowing and reaping. And I love where it's true. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And who is the giver to the bountiful? Who is the one that is able? You got to see that and put this in proper context to Scripture. It's God who is able. Are we expecting God to move in blessing? Are we walking in this place to say, God, I know that you are able to work. I know that you are able to bless. I know that you are able, and in the generous will be prosperous. God, I know that you are able. Watch what it says. I love this. For God is able to make all grace abound to you. All favor. Grace is favor. All grace or favor to be, I love what it says. Look at this. To abound to you so that always, come on, highlight that. Always having all sufficiency, highlight all. Always having all sufficiency in everything. Come on, highlight everything. Get this. This is huge. You may have an abundance for every, highlight every good deed. You think God is a God of lack? Do you understand what this is referencing? When you look at this and you break this down, again, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, inspired by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit says, Paul, write this. For God is able to make all grace abound to you, always having all sufficiency in everything. I love that. That screams of no lack. In everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As is written, he scatters abroad and gave to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now he, that's God, God is able, he who supplies seed to the sower. Listen, steward, you'll hear it next week. Cannot wait. Don't miss next week. God supplies the seed. God's the owner. God owns it all. And when you understand stewardship compared to ownership, it changes everything. Next week we close this, it's going to change everything. Don't miss it. Now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberty. I love this. Which through us is producing, here it is, thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Isn't it amazing that generosity and having that nature of being generous, walking in a place to be happy about giving, what is when you understand this, I love this, because one of the character traits of a generous person is being thankful. When you find somebody who has a thankless spirit, they will not be a generous person. Because generosity, watch this, when you are a generous person, when you understand the nature of being generous, you understand the nature of God. And in that, it produces thanksgiving. It produces praise. So I love that we have a church full of people who have a nature of generosity. And we have a people who have a nature to be thankful, who understand what it is to praise, who understand what it is to be grateful, understand what it is to give thanks, because it's your nature in the sense of being generous. When you see generous people, they are thankful people. Come on, if you would just bow your heads just for a moment, man. I do want to close out with a salvation call this morning. And we didn't get to 1 Chronicles. And if you want to read 1 Chronicles 29 and highlight every time you see heart, it will be a great study. It's about David speaking of Solomon and talking about building the temple, where in the Old Testament, that's where God would meet, and that's where the presence of God would fill. And they built this amazing, incredible temple. And what David, the king, gave and what the people gave out of their whole heart. And if you want to read 1 Chronicles 29, and it's an amazing story about building the temple. It's an amazing story about how the people gave. And then just highlight for me every time you see heart and you see the result, and it's amazing. and what they were able to do, because the heart of the people, the heart of the people were into the presence of God, because the Old Testament temple is where the presence of God dwelt. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But today, let me just ask you, man, with your heads bowed, can I just simply ask you, man, do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? It's been a crazy season. But I'm asking you, in the midst of all this, man, peace can only come from Him. I'm talking about a supernatural peace. I'm talking about a supernatural joy. I'm asking, do you know Christ? Even more so than that, does He know you? Because there will be a day when Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's Him knowing you. That you would come to this place to say, I know that I am void of Jesus. I've never come to that place to truly repent. I've never come to that place to truly put all of my trust in Jesus. I've been trusting in this. I've been trusting in going to church. I've been trusting in my giving. I've been trusting in my good works. I've been trusting in my attendance. I've been trusting in me just being a good person. All of those are fail. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one person. From Adam and Eve to the end, will ever have bragging rights that they made it to heaven on their own. Not one person is good enough. For all have sinned. Sin separates us from Christ. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay for that sin so that we could come back in this place of relationship with Him. Come on, man. Do you know Jesus? No games today. Do not have time for games. There is an urgency in my spirit for salvation of this region. Do you know Jesus? No more games. No more fluff. All have sinned. Sin has separated us from God, from the garden to here. You're never going to get away with it. Don't buy into the lies of the enemy. The enemy is against you. He hates you. He's lied to you. He has no care in the world what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus and the cross and the crucifixion of one who was perfect and innocent and loved you with such a desperate love that He came on purpose for you because He loves you. The enemy will try to confuse that. The enemy will try to muddy the waters in that. The enemy will try to lead you down a religious path. The enemy will try to lead you in a direction that's not of Scripture. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God in Christ Jesus. When you understand, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything that I've had to offer. I am filthy in His sight, which drives me to worship Him all the more, to know that yet He still loved me. And Jesus Christ put Himself on a cross for me. And that He paid the price for sin. No games. Have you come to a place to turn from sin? To call sin, sin? Have you come to a place to recognize what it means to believe and to trust in Jesus alone? Only Jesus. Has nothing to do with your deeds, has nothing to do with you being a good person, has nothing to do with you being a good husband or a good wife or a good father or a good teenager, has nothing to do with you being good, and has everything to do with His goodness and our filthiness. But Jesus' blood, watch this, the blood of Christ has covered our sin, so that now we walk in a place to put on His righteousness. Now we walk in a place to be innocent before the throne one day, only because of Jesus. Please hear it. Please hear it. Please hear it. That you've come to this place to repent from sin based on the holiness of God. God is holy. He cannot see sin. He hates sin. But yet His love for you cost Him His Son. hang on a cross so that he could be in relationship with you. Have you repented from sin? Have you trusted in Jesus alone? Have you confessed him as Lord of your life? Which means I surrender. You are my master and you are my Lord. It's your way or no way. It's your way or no way. I'm in. Many of you are in this place, all heads bowed. You come in this place, say, Lord, please forgive me. Many of you don't know Christ. Many of you don't know Jesus today. Man, I'm asking you to just simply come to this place and say, Jesus, I need you. I recognize my sin is filthy, and I recognize that I have a need of a Savior. And in this moment, I repent from my sin. I call my sin, sin, that has separated me from you. And in this moment, I turn from my sin. I repent from my sin. I call sin, sin. I change my mind towards sin. And Jesus, I trust in you. You are the only way. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through you. You're it. You're the answer. Jesus, I trust in you. And in this moment, I confess that you are my Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead and that you're alive right now as my risen King and as my risen Lord and as my risen Savior. I need you, Jesus. Jesus, this is my moment. Jesus, this is my moment. Man, if you're in this place, and I really do this, but I just want to see, if you're in this place, no one's looking around, would you please, if you really meant that today and that you, like today's my day, would you please just put your hand in the air, please? Come on, please put it up and keep it up. Come on, put it on. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for every person in this house, in this moment. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We're amazed by you, Jesus. Thank you. We love you. I pray for every person who's in this house today to walk in such an amazing relationship with you based off your love for us. Thank you for your love. And I pray that we would be so hungry for you. So hungry for you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen.